We come now to bring our prayers to God. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are both sovereign Lord of the whole universe, powerful, mighty, and in ultimate control of our world, and a God of compassion who desires to be intimate with his people. We come to you in prayer, awed and thankful that we have this free access to you, and aware that we are in no way worthy of this privilege. We ask your forgiveness for the ways in which we have failed you, ways we are all too aware of, and those that rarely, if ever, touch our consciousness. We bring our prayers for the ongoing pandemic situation, mindful that so often we focus on its impact on our own lives and those of our loved ones and friends. We lift to you those in parts of the world where strategies we take for granted, like social distancing and hand washing, are impracticable, where healthcare resources are utterly inadequate to cope with the needs generated, and where supplies for vaccination are unavailable or the benefits are misunderstood. We pray that the wealthier nations will respond compassionately and rise to the challenge of supporting these nations and helping them in respectful ways. We thank you for all those who have worked to develop and test vaccines and other resources, and for healthcare staff facing ever-changing demands. We pray for all these people, and also for teachers and pupils facing continuing disruption to education, and ask your help in finding safe and fair solutions. We pray for wise decision-making going forward, and patience and restraint wherever it is especially needed. We ask you, Lord, to comfort those who have been bereaved, whether directly or indirectly as a result of the pandemic, and to heal those unwell with long-term effects of the virus. We lift one another to you in the ongoing challenges we face, praying especially for those who continue to feel particularly afraid, alone, or restricted in managing daily life. We pray that you will bring us through this global crisis and enable all of us to learn lessons and make changes that will lead to a safer and more equitable world. We bring all of our prayers in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. And we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Clothe us in our rightful I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 10 to 24. Christ died for us so that, whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honour those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful.
When Jesus took Peter aside after the resurrection, he had only one question, though he asked the question, the same question, three times. Do you love me? It was only a matter of days, weeks at the most, since Jesus had said this to all the disciples. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Now it was time for Jesus to put Peter's love to the test. Do you love me? Then do what I command. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. We don't all have that specific commission, but the principle remains. Jesus says to you and to me, do you love me? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So what are his commandments? There used to be a restaurant in Edinburgh city centre called The Quick and 20. I have no idea how it got that name, and I don't think it's there now. But I always think about it when I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, The Quick and 20. Here we find 20 quick, sharp, incisive commands that are for all of us to obey. We say we love Jesus, but Jesus tests our love by how much we obey his commands. Let's think about them. 1. Encourage each other. 2. Build each other up. 3. Honour those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. 4. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. 5. Live peacefully with each other. 6. Warn those who are lazy. 7. Encourage those who are timid. 8. Take tender care of those who are weak. 9. Be patient with everyone. 10. See that no one pays back evil for evil. 11. always try to do good to each other. 12. Always try to do good to all people. 13. Always be joyful. 14. Never stop praying. 15. Be thankful in all circumstances. 16. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. 17. Do not scoff at prophecies. 18. Test everything. 19. Hold on to what is good. 20. Stay away from every kind of evil. You've heard of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Well, here are the 20 commandments in the New Testament, the Quick and 20. The first thing I notice is that in the Ten Commandments, 8 are expressed negatively and only 2 are expressed positively. The thou shalt nots outnumber the thou shalts. In the 20 commandments, the proportions are the same, but the other way round. This time, the positive thou shalts outnumber the negative thou shalt nots by 16-4. Right at the start, there's an emphasis on encouragement and building each other up. I've often said that an ounce of encouragement is of more value than a ton of criticism. But I haven't always followed my own advice. Christ's church is like a building, in fact a temple, and we are built into it like living stones. It's not our job to knock it down, but to build it up. Then there's an emphasis on our response to leadership within the fellowship. In our context, ministers, office bearers, deacons, musicians, leaders of organisations. We are to honour them, respect them, and lovingly support them. The 5th and 9th commands are about living in peace and practising patience. Between them, we are reminded about 3 categories of people who need our special care if peace and patience are to prevail. Those who are lazy, those who are fearful, and those who are weak. Survival of the fittest is not a Christian concept, but rather concern for the weakest. It's all about exercising patience and promoting peace. The 10th command reminds us that revenge is never an option for the Christian. In contrast, the 11th and 12th commands say, always try to do good to each other, and indeed always try to do good to all people. Evil can only be overcome with good. Darkness can only be overcome with light. Hatred can only be overcome with love. We've entered a series of commands that are characterised by the word always. Always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Always keep praying. Always be thankful, whatever the circumstances. These are instructions for quality living, but not just quality, consistency. Always. In 1999, a TV drama series started about a hospital accident and emergency department, A&D. The title of the series was Always and Everyone. A clever title and a good motto for a Christian. Among the marks of consistency which a Christian needs to aim for are goodness, joyfulness, prayerfulness, and thankfulness. Paul reminds us that This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The final five commands focus on spirituality, the blend of divine grace and human response. The fire of God's Spirit and the truth of His Word, the need for discernment, testing everything, keeping hold of what's good, and avoiding anything that has even the suggestion of evil about it. So there you have it, the Quick and 20, the 20 commandments. But someone will say, I thought we were no longer under law, but under grace. And they would be right. However, the 20 commandments are not a new law for us to keep, but a new expression of love for us to learn. If you think that they're too hard to keep, then remember that Jesus has given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. Look at those 20 commands again, and you will see embedded within them the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Today, Jesus comes to each of us with a question. Do you love me? And if you love me, keep my commandments.